Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard.
Well, good afternoon, listeners. Thank you for joining me. And I have two wonderful guests on this afternoon, and they're representing Alzheimer's Association. First, I have Michelle Crum, who is the Education Coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association Central Ohio Chapter. And I'm delighted to also have Dottie Odrosky, Volunteer Coordinator for the new Bexley Berwick Area Alzheimer's Association Caregiver Support Group. Welcome this afternoon to Faith and Family.
Thank you,
Dr. Carolyn.
Well, it's wonderful to begin our programs in the new year talking about ways that we can support and help people who have Alzheimer's or who are caring for people who have Alzheimer's. I have a really special interest in this because my best friend in the world, my sister friend, she went home to glory 2 years ago from Alzheimer's. And then I have a dear friend. We were in a couples group. We from undergraduate school on married. We had families. We were like families. Our kids were like cousins. And she has put her husband in the VA center. He's in the last stages of Alzheimer's. So I know close up how it affects not only the people who have Alzheimer's, but how it affects their family and friends also.
Absolutely.
So I think this is so important because what you do gives so much support and hope to the families of those who care for people with Alzheimer's. Now, Michelle Crum, you're the education coordinator of the Alzheimer's Association Central Ohio Chapter. Tell me a little bit about the mission of the Alzheimer's Association.
Well, our goal is to create a world without Alzheimer's. And so a lot of what we do is creating fundraising for research and advocacy, but also providing care and support for those living with the disease. And I should say that it is really many types of dementia. We're called the Alzheimer's Association, but mm-hmm. I always like to point that out because we do still have a lot of stigma based around Alzheimer's disease.
Is that right?
And that there are a lot of people that don't make use of our resources because they don't have a diagnosis of Alzheimer's specifically, but yet they're living and caring for somebody with dementia.
You know, I've heard that, you know, along the way. Mm-hmm. Someone will say, well, does she have Alzheimer's? Oh, no, she has dementia.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize is the stigma more with having the Alzheimer's or having the dementia?
I believe that people aren't comfortable naming it as Alzheimer's.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
And some people never get a solid diagnosis.
Yes.
You know, it takes a lot of, it can take a lot of testing and doctor's visits to work through to get a diagnosis. And so some families, you know, they understand that their loved one is living with dementia, and that's okay, and we support them. We don't need a distinct diagnosis to help families.
Well, that's good to know. So if someone has a loved one that's experiencing dementia,
yeah,
and they've been told that their loved one has dementia, they can also call the Alzheimer's Association?
Sure. We have a number of people that will call because they're seeing the symptoms of a loved one. And they're having difficulty getting that person maybe to the doctor or just working through getting a diagnosis. Where do you go? Still a lot of uncertainty. You would start with your primary care physician to have that conversation and then take it from there. But there is that uncertainty. So sometimes it's just those initial steps of making note of the symptoms that you're seeing and the concerns that you have and communicating that with your doctor and coordinating that visit and then going from there.
So if a person is a little confused about where to go and they call you, would your people direct them to go to their family medicine practitioner?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it would be to start with that family practitioner. That, you know, that doctor is going to have your family history. That doctor is going to have your personal history, your medical history.
That's right.
Probably have insight to your life situation. You know, maybe there's been a loss in your family. Maybe there's been a significant move or downsizing, different things that could show themselves as symptoms of dementia.
Trauma.
But once they're addressed, that could be resolved. So starting with that doctor, that's really where you want to start having that conversation.
So if you are a person who sees these symptoms in your loved one, calling the Alzheimer's Association will help to direct you to where you need to go.
Yeah, we'll have lists. So hopefully you would have that primary physician in your life. But there are a number of people that maybe haven't had a physician for a number of years or they've moved in from out of town to be closer to their children.
Yes.
And so we have resource lists of geriatricians, and we have just assessment clinics and neurologists and various services that would support.
So you're just a fine clearinghouse in a way.
We try to be.
Yes.
And there's so much growth in this area,
that
it is a challenge to keep up with all of that.
Yes.
But we try. We just and it's okay to just say, you know, this is the next step. Oftentimes it might be reaching out to the VA, like in your in your friend's situation, or the county that the person resides in for their senior services. So we don't expect to know it all, but we try to.
You can point people in the right direction.
Yes.
And can bear fruit. Well, as education coordinator, what is your role?
So we cover 14 counties.
Wow.
And my role has been for the last 7 years to try to reach out and touch those living with Alzheimer's, those affected by Alzheimer's. So sometimes it is someone that is concerned about themselves, somebody, it could be that they're diagnosed themselves, or it could be a caregiver. So it's a pretty wide group of people that we're trying to reach. But mostly getting out there and educating on dementia, that it's not a normal part of aging, and that there are, you know, there are benefits to getting a diagnosis if there is a concern of a dementia. Pursuing a diagnosis can help take steps that are very helpful, you know, earlier than later. And just knowing that you're not alone through this, it's very scary. It's something that is really hard to talk about. So most of my successful activities out in the community are just really dispelling the myths and helping connect people with that next step.
Well, how do you get the word out about the association? Do you advertise with Senior Options or on radio or television? How do they find out? Because my assumption is you're going to organizations to speak. Is that right?
Yes, that is ideal. The perfect world would be that, you know, every human resources department would ask us to come, because there are so many people that are working, that are taking care of, yes, or concerned for their parents,
that's
their loved,
right,
ones, and it's hard to get all those resources.
Yes.
So there's a great reach that we have available, opportunity to reach, mm-hmm, more people. But a lot of times it is, you know, community centers,
okay,
senior centers, churches, mm-hmm, are, mm-hmm, ideal. You know, we've learned that so many people, you know, go to their church,
yes,
to seek that
their pastor
support.
Yes.
And so that's wonderful. And if we can give the tools to the church to,
yes,
know how to make those next steps, that,
mm-hmm,
would be good. So we know we're only reaching a fraction of the people that need the support.
Yes.
And so over the last year, we've been trying to offer more community forums to get input from people to find out, you know, where they seek their information and how we can get that to them.
Yes, yes. Now, Dottie is one of the volunteers for the Alzheimer's Association.
We couldn't do it without all the volunteers.
I'm telling you, yes. So, Dottie, welcome. And we know each other. And
yes, we
visited
did
before and talked about even furnaces.
Yes, we certainly did.
That we recently had to replace. But you are the volunteer coordinator for the new Bexley Berwick area, and you have this support group for caregivers of Alzheimer's,
yes, ma'am,
patients.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how you became a volunteer. How did you get interested in this?
Well, I was a single adoptive parent some years ago, adopted two boys, and through the years of raising those boys, I participated in three different support groups. Each had a little bit different focus based on what my needs were at the time. And so I had a real internal understanding of what kind of a lifeline that is,
okay,
when you need that.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when I went to an open house at Alzheimer's Association and they were talking about volunteer opportunities,
mm-hmm,
in our community,
mm-hmm,
and I saw there was not a support group active on the east side of town, I had a burning passion after that. I just pestered Michelle. I want to get a group on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pulled things together and that happened. And actually, we don't have to call ourselves new so much,
okay,
anymore.
I wondered about
because
that.
we're gonna have our third anniversary this May.
Wonderful.
For our group. And when I reference our group, that's the Bexley Berwick group.
Okay.
But there are lots of other groups in Franklin County and,
sure,
the counties around. Around Franklin County, I think there's about 30 different groups.
Yes.
And so those, if you need to find a group, you can go to the Alzheimer's, the website, alz.com. And I think it's one of the best laid out information platforms that exists on the,
mm-hmm,
internet. And right there in bold, I just checked it today to make sure it looked the same,
mm-hmm,
and on a big rectangle right in the middle is support groups, and so you can drill down from that window and find ones that are in your neighborhood, and they may be they may meet during the day, during the evening. They can have a different focus, so you don't necessarily need to go to the one in your neighborhood. You can go to the one that fits you and your personality, your needs as a caregiver.
Okay. You gave some contact information,
mm-hmm,
so I'm going to ask you to do that again.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask Michelle to give her contact information.
Okay. Okay, so the Bexley Berwick support group, and I am the facilitator for that group, and it meets the second Thursday of each month on 6:30 to 8 o'clock. And the address is 1555 South James Road, and that's the Redeemer Lutheran Church. We had previously been meeting at the Brookwood Presbyterian Church, but that church has been sold. And that church was in the Berwick neighborhood, and this Redeemer Church is in the neighborhood. And the contact line is actually my old landline. I have that set up in my home to receive calls for the support group. And so again, my name, Dottie Odrosky, O-D-R-O-S-K-Y. And the number is 614-237-9291. And there's also a reminder of our location and when we meet, just in case you didn't quite catch that today.
Well, we're going to repeat it later on in the show. And Michelle, your contact information.
Sure. Well, I'm part of the Central Ohio chapter. Our office is at 1379 Dublin Road, Columbus, and that's 43215. My phone number is, I'm going to give you, let's see, so many different phone numbers we have. Our chapter office is 614-457-6003. That's our office number. But we are supported through a 24/7 helpline through our parent organization, the Alzheimer's Association, is 800-272-3900.
Great.
And all of those calls get directed to us.
Now, here, when I printed this out from the internet, what is this alz.org/walk?
So alz.org is our website.
Okay.
And that's where you can go for a plethora of information. And as Dottie said, I mean, it's just a clearinghouse. Whether you're someone that, you know, is invested in the disease because you're a clinical professional, maybe you're a doctor, there's a whole research arm to that. I mean, you can get lost in the amount of information. The information for caregivers and families, and we know that some people aren't able to get out to support groups because they're at home caring for their loved one, and they're unable to get out, and so they're actually there are online support groups available.
Yes, I saw that.
And just the reading material, the detail as far as certain issues that might arise. You know, there are different topics that you can look into. So you can get lost in it. But if you go there and you start to get lost, you can call me and I'll help navigate. Because there's so much questions to ask, and a lot of times I will, when I'm talking to families, I will encourage them to go to a support group because I do think that that's probably the best place that they can go and get connected with people that have walked the walk and have had to learn as they go.
Yes.
And so a book is wonderful, a website and all that reading material, great, but when you can talk to someone that has firsthand experience, it's priceless.
Would I be correct in saying when I pull this up, it's an online community?
Yes, ma'am.
And then it says we host ALZ Connected?
Yes.
A free online community where people living with Alzheimer's, caregivers, family, and friends can ask questions, get advice, and find support.
Yes.
Would it be correct to say that a person might start there because they really have a situation where they can't get out to Dottie's support group or other support groups, and they can get information and direction. And then when they can then join a support group face-to-face, right?
Yes. I spoke with someone for the first time that came to a support group. They had never attended a support group during their caregiving experience, but they came because I wanted to support others that were going through it.
Oh, wonderful.
And so everybody comes to us at different points in their journey.
Yes.
And everybody has different comfort levels of how they how they take in information, how they process it. And so we'll have families that are, you know, very comfortable, you know, navigating through the internet and getting resources.
Yes.
And actually, that's helpful for us to get the word out.
Yes, it is.
That just broadened, all of these efforts broaden our reach. And so we have some education programs that are larger community events, and then we have some that are smaller that are based on a certain topic that would impact someone living with dementia.
Now, I might be getting my programs mixed up, but do you have also people who are aides who can go into the home and help with Alzheimer's patients?
Or? We don't have that resource available to us. What we would have is the community resource finder and ways to connect people with those services. And a lot of the volunteer the organizations that sponsor a lot of our efforts are, you know, our services in that area. So, so there are different ways of getting connected with
getting
those.
People connected. Dottie, what kind of situations do you find that people are in who come to your support group? I know they're caregivers.
Yes.
Are they short-term, long-term? Have they just begun? Just what draws them to your group?
Well, I would say there's a wide mix of backgrounds on the folks who come, because this is a disease that can have a short course or a long course.
Oh,
it
really?
Can be, you know, 2 or 3 years for a person with dementia or Alzheimer's, and it can be very long. My mother had Alzheimer's disease, and her course of the disease was somewhere between 12 and 15 years, so a very long, painful course of the disease.
Yes.
So I see persons coming to the support group that are supporting individuals and loved ones anywhere in that whole span. And people come when there's a new diagnosis, when somebody's been living with the disease for a while, and then people who are in very end stages of the disease for support. And we do have men and women who come, of course more women than men, because that's culturally kind of the way way things happen in this country. There are more women who come. And so many times they'll come, and it's really a lifeline they're looking for, and they need to be in the presence of other people that are doing what they're doing, that are sharing and understand the same frustrations, the same anger, the same sadness, the same grief, and be able to express that and unconditionally be accepted by these other people and supported by these by the other individuals who are there.
I know my girlfriend whose spouse was just put into VA because he's in the final stages, and we're all a part of a couples group, but you know that we've had different things happen to either one or the other. She calls it the long goodbye.
Yes.
And does it always last a long time? Can it be 1 or 2 years?
I don't know the statistics on that. I just know from my own observation in reading and from the reports of the folks who come to the groups. I don't know, Michelle, do you have any data on that?
I can't refer to actual statistics, but there are so many different types of dementia, and each person's course is unique. And so we do see people that are so physically well, you know, and living with this disease, and then if they have a sudden health crisis, you know, you might see that decline more abruptly. And it is, it's just, it varies by each person, which is really hard to be a caregiver and know what to expect.
Yes.
You know, if somebody's been diagnosed with cancer or another, you know, say a chronic illness, and they're, they have a better picture of the length that they should plan for. And I think the uncertainty with Alzheimer's and other dementias is just very trying on the whole family, because that long goodbye, you could care for your loved one for years after they, you know, remember certain important people in their family, you know, just so you're saying goodbye to them each day as you witness different losses.
Well, yeah, I can see that, because with my precious girlfriend, I remember her daughter telling me that her father was going to go to the doctor with them. And he did. But his question was, when is this going to be over? Yeah. And she said, you know, Aunt Carolyn, I had no idea that he didn't realize that this was going to be for the long term.
Yeah.
And they had been going through it probably 5 or 6 years at the time. And I guess he decided, I'm going to go because I've got, how long is this going to last? Right. So that would be sort of traumatic for the caregivers also, wouldn't it?
It is. It's exhausting. And so we'll see, and caregivers will overlook their own health needs because of their
friend. Yes.
The person they're caring for,
yes.
and then we'll see them fall ill.
That is exactly what I'm seeing. Yes, mm-hmm. with my other friend.
And then sometimes there's a sense of relief when that person passes, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. understandable. And then you see that challenge of what's next. Like, mm-hmm. how do you enter back into a world that had been so limited for so many years,
mm-hmm.
you had to, mm-hmm. you know, maybe give up certain clubs and things mm-hmm. that you enjoyed doing
right.
because you were, you know, just committed to this caregiving role.
It's all consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Are there support services that help former caregivers re-enter? Is that a part of who you see in your support group, Dottie?
No, that's not been our focus.
Okay.
A couple times somebody after their loved one has passed, they've wanted a grief support group.
Okay, that makes
and so
sense.
I've, you know, had needed to look
okay.
for one that would be, you know, close enough that
yes.
they could get to it in the right time of day and so forth.
Yes, and that's important to acknowledge
yes.
that and that they get that kind of support. I was looking here on the internet and it says Alzheimer's Association.org, find wellness in every way.
Mm-hmm. Living well with dementia.
Okay.
I believe that's what that's referring
all right.
to.
Okay.
And that is so important to me. The earlier somebody gets a diagnosis, the earlier they can start, you know, making modifications and incorporating things that will help them live well.
Okay.
And, you know, even if they don't have dementia, but they're worried about their risk, because we're all at risk.
Yes, we are.
And so we know that there are ways just in wellness through nutrition, exercise,
mm-hmm.
cognitive stimulation,
mm-hmm.
and social engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that incorporating those the mindfulness, you know, being mindful of those
mm-hmm.
efforts
mm-hmm.
can have a positive outcome in reducing your risk for dementia.
And that's also important for the person with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As they are able to be socially engaged.
Yes.
As they're able to exercise or able to make a salad. Or whatever.
Absolutely.
So, are you a part of educating groups and people about living well with dementia?
One of the programs that we offer is it's Healthy Habits for the Brain and Body,
okay.
and it takes those tips from the research.
All right.
And just sometimes it's just validating efforts that people are doing.
Yes.
And just kind of putting it out there, like, yes, just by attending this program, you are educating yourself. You
mm-hmm.
are coming out and you're being social.
Mm-hmm.
You're creating new relationships,
mm-hmm.
possibly.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things that people are doing that can be just validated, but then also things that maybe if you're making efforts in your nutrition, well,
mm-hmm.
here are some things that you might
mm-hmm.
want to
mm-hmm.
keep in mind. And it is that Mediterranean diet, that mind diet, is the rich leafy green vegetables and the antioxidants, omega-3 fatty acids, all those things that we think of, well, that's a heart-healthy diet, or that's
mm-hmm.
that's a Mediterranean diet. Well, you know what? Anything that's good for the heart is good for the brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sounds good. That makes a lot of sense. The healthy habits for people with dementia. Well, we're going to go for a break. We've had a wonderful conversation, and we have a break now.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kicking On Me.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kicking products are better than those other guys. Ash Kicking candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Shop Ash Kicking online at www.ashkickin.com.
Think you can't afford life insurance? Think again. You might be surprised at how affordable it can be. 80% of Americans overestimate the cost of life insurance. Maybe it's time to swap a few small expenses for some big peace of mind. Life insurance can protect what matters most, and it's the right thing to do. Let's talk today. So call me, Marvin Smith, at American Family Insurance at 614-986-3105. You can also visit my website at marvinsmithinsurance.com. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence Magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33. With not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
At TalkTainmentRadio.com, we don't just talk, we don't just entertain. We've combined talk radio with the latest in online entertainment, with the ability to listen live at no cost 24/7. We are the premier online radio station. Outperforming the digital quality of our competitors, our shows are produced in a state-of-the-art studio by the best radio professionals in the business. Hosting live shows on location at some of the area's greatest and most popular events, we give you exactly what you want to hear with talk radio that matters to you. Join us online at TalkTainmentRadio.com, where you can listen live or play podcasts from the best shows in online talk radio. We give you a reason to come. We give you a reason to stay. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard.
This is TalkTainmentRadio.com, And this is Faith and Family with your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew. And our guests today are Michelle Crum, the Education Coordinator for the Alzheimer's Association, and our guest, a Volunteer Coordinator for the Bexley-Berwick Area Alzheimer's Association for Caregiver Support. This is wonderful to have you here today. Thank you for being here. And we are giving our listeners so much important information. You know, when we went to break, one of the things that I thought about when we were talking about the healthy habits, I remembered that the Columbus Museum of Art has a program for caregivers and people who have dementia or Alzheimer's. And I remember, you know, trying to get my girlfriend's daughter to go, but they weren't quite comfortable going. But I guess they do have some nice turnouts because they have a grant for that. Do you have any experience with that, Michelle?
So the Sparking Imaginations is the tour that we're so fortunate to have in the area. And what the Museum of Art has done is identified a group of their docents that they are willing to be trained to engage with those with dementia. Mm-hmm. And so they're able to kind of modify a tour that is open to someone with dementia so that they can walk them through the experience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it's not so overwhelming as going through the whole museum, and the History Center has one as well.
Oh,
Sparking
really?
Discovery, yeah.
Okay.
But the key is that the docents, they're trained to engage with somebody with dementia so that, you know, they can facilitate that conversation, bring things out of the person. And, you know, this is a very isolating disease, and so when you're caring for someone with dementia, there aren't a lot of activities that you're comfortable doing over time.
Yes.
You know, you slowly find yourself being limited.
Yes.
And it's sad because there's so much benefit to it, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's just too much. It's overstimulating.
Yes.
It's just, there are a lot of risks that go along with it. So having an opportunity like the Sparking Imaginations at our Museum of Art that is once a month, and so it's a set time, and that they're able to offer that tour, and then you can schedule those in advance as well, and so we look for those opportunities. I refer to them as dementia-friendly activities.
Yes, I was just thinking that because I remember with my friend now, who has a husband, you know, at the VA. How she's just wonderful, and one of the things she was determined, they would go to church and they would go out to dinner, and I remember when that was no longer possible, that they could no longer go to church together or out to dinner, and what a loss that was for her, mm-hmm. And what it meant in so many ways. So I know what you're saying. I was a docent at the Museum of Art when my children were younger, and before I was a homemaker at the time, before I went back to graduate school. I loved being a docent. And one of the things about art is that it stimulates the right brain, and also the nonverbal nature of the stimulation. So I just think it's wonderful that they do that, and that made me think of that.
Thank
when
you.
You mentioned that.
And I have a handout at the support group that I give them regarding the program at the Art Museum.
I think that's
wonderful.
And so
that's another role that the support groups play, is giving information to.
Yes.
I was going to ask you, that was one of my questions. I'm glad you said that. Do you have speakers? And you're saying you have access to resources. What what happens in a support group?
At a support group, when I was doing my training with the Alzheimer's Association, I actually went to three different groups and two visits each. And my conclusion was each group kind of has its own personality.
Okay.
And some are very topic specific when they have a meeting, and they'll talk about one kind of thing. Some are very general. Ours tend to be general, and that seems to be what what the folks who want. Come to mine like. Some have refreshments, some don't. We don't, and we're pretty much no nonsense. We just want to get there and engage with each other, and we don't. Not only handouts that I can give to individuals there, also in between I will sometimes hear, get emails, get information from the Alzheimer's Association, get information from the Area Agency on Aging, different programs, different things, and I will send that out to the folks in my email group. And I have about 30-some people in the email group, and I keep wanting to shave that down because not that many people, of course, can come. We have people who come, you know, maybe once every 3 months, and some are able to come every month, but it's a caregiver issue to find that respite so that they can't always come. But they don't want to be removed from the email group either, so I think in some way that lends some support that email that I send out every month or in between, it reminds them this exists if I need to go there, if I'm able, if I can get the respite to go, I can get there. And the other thing I like to look for, if there's any information that comes up on research or research studies, and so we've had one or two young ladies from the university, from OSU, come, and of course it's volunteer. Tell her, but I don't need to know. You make your own decision if you want to do that. So they'll get the handout and they can call and participate in that. And then particularly I look for things if there's research and they're looking for African Americans because there's so little research done on dementia and with people of color. And I can tell you that our support group really represents our community. And so we have people from the Jewish community, we have people of color, so people from big houses in Bexley and people who live in little houses on James Road, and they all come together and just do phenomenal support with each other and information sharing, because these folks who are there and attending are the experts.
Yes, they would be, wouldn't they?
My role is to get them all there and make sure the space is there and the lights are on and so forth. But they really are the ones that are the experts, and I've learned so much from the people in the group.
I bet you have. But the thing that I would see is that, just like I told you about my girlfriend, they could no longer go to church together and go out to dinner together. That's a loss, and loss is a part of life. We all experience it as we move along. But that's a little bit of grief right there. And so keeping the people on the email list would tell them that they're connected. They're not as isolated as they may feel. Because, share, you know, sometimes I just think, oh, how long is this going to go on? So I would think it would be very important to let them just take themselves off.
Right,
you
yes,
know?
Yes.
I don't want to know anymore because they need that connection. And, you know, it's the kind of situation where you just can't walk up your street on a walk and say, oh, there's somebody that has Alzheimer's or dementia. And that it's a little bit different, you know. I can walk up the street and say, you know, I had a bad cold. I had that same bad cold. But that isn't true of Alzheimer's as much as we know that it's happening. It still isn't it may be a universal experience, but not a common one that you can just, you know, go into your club meeting and 10 out of the 20 have someone in their home. And that can be very isolating.
And that's so true about loss. I think everybody who comes there in some state of grief and experiencing loss,
absolutely.
Because the personality that they knew, that personality is constantly changing as the brain is changing, and that's very difficult to cope with, and that's something that often comes up at our group, and people saying, you know, this this just isn't the person I remember. My mother isn't there. And everybody tries to encourage and say, she's still there.
She's still there.
The emotional attachment is still there, even though, you know, you may not be able to see it.
It's a different
or see
package.
It expressed in the way her personality was previously expressed, but that connection is still there. So,
well, that I even just I'm, as a friend,
right.
I remember when my best friend's daughter brought her over to the house. She recognized me. She was happy to be there. She went into the living room. She said, "I've been in here. I've been in here." Mm-hmm. And we had lunch, you know, in the sunroom. And my daughter was able, she was her godmother. She was able to feed her ice cream. And she, I was just thrilled that she recognized me at some level. And she knew where she was. And she was so happy to see me and just hug me. So, I mean, if I have those feelings as a best friend, I can only imagine what it's like when you are a son or a daughter or spouse living with that every day. You just hunger for a moment of glimmer. I know my friend said, you know, when he left the house to go back on Thanksgiving, "I love you," and called her name.
Yeah, you need to celebrate those moments.
That's right. And they do happen.
They do happen.
You mentioned about just the whether it's the children or the spouse, how important that is. And oftentimes, that person that's closest to them takes the biggest weight. Yeah. You know, they often are the one that gets the ugly responses, the ugly behavior from the person living with dementia, because you're not my parent. The different accusations.
Yes.
And so it's so hard to be in a role that you're providing this nurture.
Yes.
And yet you're getting the bad guy. You're the bad guy.
Well, I can think of an example of that with her. We went out to dinner after church. We went out to dinner, and we ordered her something we knew she could eat with her hands, a hamburger, rather than silverware and all. And her spouse said something to her about the sandwich. Nope. And I said, "Well, why don't I cut it up for you?" Okay. So I was I thought, "Oh, this is great. She's let me do this for her." But I didn't think about how he might feel like I'm trying to get her to do the same thing. And she's saying, "Nope." So that's a good point. I think that's probably very important to talk about and to understand in your support group. She's not, they're not just picking on you.
Right.
That's just
the one closest program. To them.
And so often people will go through, people with dementia will go through a phase where you're stealing my stuff. I know you took that watch. I know you took, you know, and they truly believe, and again, it is the person closest to them that they are
accusation.
Blaming,
yes,
which is very hurtful. And so we do use humor to talk about a dreadful subject in our support groups, but that's one of them. So sometimes when somebody's saying, you know, "And she blamed me again for stealing this," and then we'll sort of tease that person and say, where did you put those rings, you know? You hid the stuff again.
That's
didn't
good.
You, you know?
Yes.
And then everybody will laugh because it's sort of a shared experience that they've gone through that at some time. And will be helpful if the person hasn't yet gone through that and they do at another time. I don't think it'll be as stressful to them when they've already heard us.
Yes. And I know others, everybody
laugh a little bit about that.
Everybody's having the same experience.
Right.
That's why
it normalizes.
Yeah,
it normalizes a very struggling role that a caregiver's in for a period of time.
Well, that is the mission of this program, is to present uplifting information that helps families to live more abundantly. And someone might say, "What's uplifting?" Well, it's uplifting because we're talking about hope. We're talking about something you can't do anything about. You have to know in life what you can change and what you can't change.
Yes.
But you can't change Alzheimer's, but you can live well with it, hopefully with it. You can thrive as a caregiver with it, redefining thriving by having friends in a support group, by going to your website, and that sort of thing. Now, as you're talking, I want to get in some symptoms. What are some early signs of Alzheimer's disease?
So that the first one would be memory and memory impairment that upsets daily life. Okay. So we all have little slips in our memory. And that does not mean that you have dementia. But it's really when it's severe enough to interrupt daily life. So maybe you forget to take your medicine from time to time because, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, mm-hmm. you get going mm-hmm. and you forget. Mm-hmm. Well, we have problem-solving skills that would help us maybe get a pill box that would set yes. up, or we might have a timer on our phone or some type of alarm that says, oh, it's time to take your medicine. Those are problem-solving skills that we use to set up. You might even just have a post-it note that says, remember to take your medicine. But when those things fail to work, though, that's when there's something more of a problem.
Okay. And I think that's important because I've heard people, you know, when I was younger, say in my 50s, you know, somebody forgets something that,
yeah.
oh, I hope I'm not getting dementia. I hope. And what you're saying is when it gets to be bothersome, troublesome, and a problem, then that's when you want to email or call you
yeah.
or and get some information about where to go from there. I know one of the things that I read, too, were decisions, strange decisions that people, purchases that you wouldn't normally make.
Right. Or poor judgment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are really important to look out for, aren't they?
They are. They're financial scams. You know, the
yes.
older adults are prey to that anyway. But
all the time.
But when you have someone that's experiencing some deficits and they're worried about mm-hmm. maintaining their independence,
mm-hmm.
They want to maintain that independence with their bill paying or mm-hmm. Household chores. If they get a bill, they might be known to pay it multiple times or
okay.
pay everything that looks like a bill because
okay.
if they miss that bill, then it's going to raise a flag.
Okay.
So that is a big thing. And sadly, you know, it can get bad because... If I disclose this to you that I made this mistake, then all of a sudden you're going to take that away from me, that sign of independence away. So I'm going to mm-hmm. try to fix it before I tell you about it, and then it kind of is a downward spiral mm-hmm. of not being able to fix it. So
you're actually saying that as they begin to exhibit some symptoms, they're aware.
There is some fear.
Some level of awareness or fear.
Yes.
fear. They may not understand what's happening, but they have a sense that, hey, this isn't really me. So they may try to hide some of those decisions.
Yes, and so sometimes when you get that diagnosis, there's a sense of relief because they think that they've
yes.
been going crazy.
Yes.
You know? And so if they can understand that this is a disease, this isn't just that they, you know, made a bad choice or they didn't study hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in their control. And it's one of those things where when they see some deficits, sometimes you get anxious and you worry more about it. If you forget where you parked your car,
mm-hmm.
you know, that mm-hmm. happens to us all.
Mm-hmm.
But we have problem-solving
mm-hmm.
skills, so we might
mm-hmm.
look where, you know, we might mm-hmm. put a note in our purse
mm-hmm.
where we parked
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
have some kind of way to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with dementia might go out and then get flustered and get lost in the parking lot or go into the wrong car. There are just so many different scary things that could happen.
Well, you know, in a sense, though, what you're saying is the hopeful thing is once you know, the caregiver and
yeah.
the person can
yeah.
then say, okay, where can we get the kind of help and support
yeah.
we need? And that's where your number contacts
yeah.
come in, and that's where your support groups come in. We have just a few more minutes because I like to do a end with a positive poem or a prayer or whatever. And before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for being here. This is an important topic because it's happening all over our society. And I imagine it happens in other countries, right?
It does.
So yeah. This is not just an American or a certain ethnic group or anything. It's happening to everybody. And those of us who don't have it, we need to be informed also so that we can be safe people to be around and welcoming to people who have Alzheimer's. So, Michelle, you're the education coordinator. Would you give me all that information again for our listeners?
Our website is alz.org, and then it's /Central Ohio. That's how you would get to our chapter, alz.org, /Central Ohio. And then our 24-hour helpline is 800-272-3900.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And Dottie, how about your information? You're the volunteer coordinator.
Okay, I'll be pleased to give you that, Dr. Carolyn. And you said to be uplifting, and I wanted to just say something. I am a faith community nurse, and at the support group, if I could sum it up, I think it is truly love thy neighbor,
yes,
in the purest form.
Yes.
And it is quite powerful what,
yes,
I'm able to witness and,
yes,
be a part of. It's a real privilege to be a facilitator for,
yes,
a support group.
Yes.
And it's actually energizing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be draining, but actually I have more energy. And mm-hmm. It's because I've seen people, I think, behaving as we were designed,
yes,
to behave, to mm-hmm. care for each other.
With it's a core of love.
Yes, really, God's plan,
yes,
in action that
exactly.
you can see. So
exactly.
I wanted to add those 2 cents.
I'm glad
the
you
positive.
Did.
So once
did.
Again, my name is Dottie Odrosky, O-D-R-O-S-K-Y, and I am the facilitator for the Bexley-Berwick Support Group. And we meet at Redeemer Lutheran Church, and that's 1555 South James Road, and that's in zip code 43227. And my phone number, and this is the landline at my house, so you will receive my personal message on that line, and it's 614-237-9291.
Thank you so much. And now for our closing thoughts. Yesterday has gone away, never to return. So let me live today with joy while the embers slowly burn. Yesterday has gone away, tomorrow is at hand. So let me live today with hope as I strive to understand. Yesterday has gone away, each moment now is past. So let me live today with love as tomorrow's die is cast. Yesterday has gone away, no more to abide. So let me live today in peace with the Creator by my side. And I love these positive, uplifting, edifying poems. And this is by Hope C. Oberhelman. And the scripture that goes with this is, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And that's from the little book, Set My Spirit Free, from the Salesians. And they put out some wonderful little inspirational poems. And we always like to leave our listeners with something, a last word that is edifying, along with the very hope-filled information that you, Michelle and Dottie, have given us today about Alzheimer's, because that is our mission here, is to uplift people so that they can help to raise their families and with abundant living. And we don't mean lots and lots material things. We mean abundance in mind, spirit, and body. And that's a purpose, a mission of our program. And we're so glad to have the two of you representing the Alzheimer's Association to do that. And so, to our listeners, we say thank you so very much. My faith and family family for being with us today. And we look forward to your listening the next time that we're on.
So when does it start?
It starts in the ocean. Okay. And when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shout. I got shade. Thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta make these opposites back up like lobsters. Indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping? Never. Let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountain tops with snow. The Sierras in the Rockies. Snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.